Torno is the name of the new novel by Scottish writer Irvin Welsh. You might remember him from 1993, when his first novel, Trainspotting, became a bestseller in Europe and the United States. Welsh was praised as a fresh voice, writing about Edinburgh's drug-infested housing projects. And Irvin Welsh's Trainspotting became a hit movie. Now, as Minnesota Public Radio's Ewan Kerr reports, Trainspotting's down-and-out characters are back.
Trainspotting rumbled into U.S. movie theaters in 1996 and introduced American audiences to the world of the Edinburgh junkies. It was a dark and dangerous place, although not without its moments of wry humor.
The downside of coming off junk was I knew I would need to mix with my friends again in a state of full consciousness. It was awful. They reminded me so much of myself I could hardly bear to look at them. Take Sick Boy, for instance. He came off junk at the same time as me, not because he wanted to, you understand, but just to annoy me. Just to show me how easily he could do it, thereby downgrading my own struggle. Sneaky f***er, don't you think?
The film made international stars of Ewan McGregor, now better known for his roles in Moulin Rouge and two Star Wars movies, and Robert Carlyle, who played the psychotic Begbie and went on to be the psychotic Renard in the last James Bond movie. Trainspotting also made Irvin Welsh a cult figure. He swore there would never be a sequel. There have been six books since, none anywhere near as successful. Welsh says when he began seeing the Trainspotting characters reappearing in his writing, he realised how much he missed them.
You know, it's like a kind of first love, in a way. You just want to find out what's happening to them.
Porno follows Sick Boy. He's now a pub owner in Edinburgh. While he's given up heroin, he's still selling drugs. In a bid to make sure he corners the market in his own establishment, he goes to the police to report that other people are dealing in his pub.
Now, I don't know that much about this sort of thing myself, but it might be those fantasy tablets that you read about in the papers. Ecstasy. This boy knows his ecstasy from his eczema, which is just as well. Whatever, I say, all businessman and taxpayer impatient. The point is, I don't want to bar them permanently if they're innocent, but there's no way anybody is dealing drugs in my pub.
Sick Boy is profiled in the local paper for his anti-drugs campaign. When he discovers some friends have been making amateur porn movies, he sees it as another way to make money. He becomes an adult film producer. Welsh likens today's attitude to pornography to the 1990s attitude towards drugs. He says they are both underground sensibilities which have infected the public and the media.
I mean, all these reality television shows that we have in Britain, like Big Brother, they're built around this kind of schadenfreude of actually wanting to see people kind of get shafted physically and metaphorically. There's that kind of sort of voyeurism that's crept into the culture that's, to me, is a kind of essentially a pornographic sensibility.
Irvin Welsh stresses his book is not pornographic, but he did research the book by spending time with people he knew in the adult entertainment business. He says he wanted to avoid extreme depictions of sex workers, either positive or negative.
People do that kind of thing largely for money. But there is quite a big turnover, as there is in all sort of service industries, in low-paid service industries. They do see it as a, you know, it's a good alternative to working at McDonald's.
Porno is a typical Welsh book, blending attitude, humour and social criticism with occasional scenes of degradation. It was published in late summer in Britain. While it received good reviews, there was also some discomfort.
I got about three chapters through this book and I thought, I'm not going to finish this. I'm going to leave this. It's too unpleasant. I don't like it.
Bruce Morton is a Scottish writer, comedian and BBC broadcaster.
But the next thing I knew, I was halfway through and I was still saying the same things. And in the end, I finished it. And I liked it against my better judgment, I think.
That's a classic reaction to Irvin Welsh. Just as he was accused of glorifying heroin use in Trainspotting, now he is said to be reveling in smut. And recently, a Sunday Times Scotland critic charged that Welsh and several other successful Scottish writers dwell too much on the negative in a country that's doing quite well. Welsh says, like any artist, he has a responsibility to tell the truth as he sees it.
I mean, I don't think that any Scottish writer or artist is paid by the tourist board to sort of do this positive image thing.
He calls the Times critic a bloated right-wing journalist who is not adding to the debate. Bruce Morton says that's all part of the Irvin Welsh package.
I think he polarises people, yeah. I'm sure there are those people who would rather eat bees than touch an Irvin Welsh novel. But he has a large fan base, if I could use that word.
And part of that base is in America. Welsh has been reading at bookstores across the US and Canada over the last few weeks, drawing large crowds. Amy Cherry, the senior editor at Random House, who serves as Welsh's American editor, says Welsh has an appeal for certain kinds of readers, no matter where they are.
He's funny, he's dark, but so is William S. Burroughs. Anthony Burgess, whom we published his book, A Clockwork Orange, that again is subversive literature. And yes, it's sex, but you know, that's in people's lives.
Cherry also says she thinks the Edinburgh dialect, which has marked much of Welsh's writing, is going to be less of an issue this time. Several of the characters in Porno have spent some time outside Edinburgh, and as Cherry puts it, their English is a lot easier to read. There are others, however, who cling to the thick patois of the streets.
Never thought I'd see the f***ing day. Tell you you'd f***ing well be back, you he says again, showing me that his obsession with boring repetition is as intact as ever, possibly even developed, incubating as it did for so long in that hothouse of a slammer. Imagine sharing a cell with that.
Strangely enough, one person who does have a problem reading Irvin Welsh is the author himself. Welsh says before writing Porno, he reread Trainspotting. It was not a happy experience.
Terrible, terrible. I could barely understand it. I mean, the weird thing is that you're not used to seeing words like that written on a page, and it's easier to write for me than it is to actually read. So it took me a while to get into it. It's like everybody else kind of says, basically, you have to stick with it for about 30 pages and then you get into a kind of rhythm of it. In some ways, it was actually harder to read Trainspotting than it was to write Porno, believe it or not.
Others are more generous, and Welsh says he has several offers, including a few from Hollywood, to option the film rights to Porno. He says he'll consider them carefully, but also points out he's formed a production company with Robert Carlyle and may well make the film himself. It's a big change for the one-time social worker and rental agent.
When I first started off, I felt I was like more of a kind of cultural activist who was almost like a sort of cultural guerrilla who's kind of writing about subcultures that have been kind of ignored by mainstream literature. And now I feel I've just kind of, over the last couple of books, I've probably become more of a proper writer in the kind of classic, more mainstream kind of bourgeois sort of sense of the term.
When asked if there might be a Trainspotting 3, Welsh says he's learned he should not be hasty in answering, but he may have learned a lesson from another Edinburgh-based writer, J.K. Rowling.
I don't want Begbie to become a psychotic Harry Potter, you know, where he's this franchised character that you can knock out every so often.
So you probably won't find the Begbie action figure on the toy store shelf anytime soon, but you never know. For NPR News, I'm Ewan Kerr.